With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. I'm really happy now to be at the Schlin Lou once again in Rockport with the president and CEO of Rockport Music, Tony Beadle. And Tony, once again, thank you for letting me come up here. I love coming into this place.
It's our pleasure, Rick. Anytime.
All right. Got to get right down to business here. Last time we talked, the music business, Rockport, the Schlin Lou, were coming out of COVID. And you had some particularly challenging times keeping things going. And maybe a little bit of a recap, Tony, if you would, please. What happened during COVID, maybe during the shutdown, and then how things got back rolling and where we are right now.
Yes. We had our last concert around March 19th of 2020. And we thought, well, we're going to close for 2 or 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and, you know, just like everybody, and then we'll be back up in business. And when that became apparent, then, you know, we had to reevaluate everything. And one of the first things that we sort of landed on, because it had been some talking about it, or somebody somewhere had decided they would do something on the internet of a, you know, pre-recorded program, streaming, if you will, mm-hmm. now is what we call streaming. And I thought that was a great idea. And fortunately, as good fortune is always with us at Rockport Music, it seems, we had just installed a 3-camera video system for purposes of capturing little snippets of concerts for marketing purposes on our website. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it didn't take much to then put together a program of full-length 45-minute sets with artists performing in our hall empty and putting them online. And the reason for it not being to try to monetize it, but rather to just keep our brand alive and keep it in mind's eyes. And, you know, artists were desperate to perform and would do it for pittance. And so we had some big names and from all genres. And perhaps the biggest name was Yo-Yo Ma came here to do a he actually had made a CD called Songs of Hope, and he wanted to make a video to go with it. And so he did it on our stage. So that was great. And now and then we would charge something. Like we had Celtic Sojourn come up and do their first Christmas thing. They did it entirely on streaming. Mm-hmm. But mostly we had it for free. And what's really interesting is the first 2 or 3 of these things, the very first one was the Parker String Quartet. They're a renowned quartet. They're in residence at Harvard University, or at least they were. And we had over 100,000 hits.
Wow.
Of people that viewed it. Now, whether they sat through the whole thing is another story, but they went to it so that the curiosity factor was very high. And that lasted for about 6 to 8 months, and then slowly it went down because there was then a lot of product. Other places finally got their act together too and did it. But it served its purpose for us very much, kept us going, and it kept, you know, it was perfectly tethered to towards the end of streaming and, you know, people's reliance on it for entertainment, the movie Coda came out, which is filmed in the area. And if you've seen that movie, the dramatic ending to it, of the scene when the young woman auditions at Berkeley, is actually filmed on the stage of the Schlin Lou Performance Center.
All right.
So you can't buy that, you know. So.
Oh, that's extra special. I'm always, and again, I'm so excited to come here because so much goes on, and yeah. this beautiful diamond that shines in Rockport. It's just amazing. Now, getting back into the swing of things,
yes.
to use a music term.
Yes. Well, so we stuck with streaming, and then, you know, things begin to lift a little bit, and we planned in 2021 to come back, and we had a plan where we would have, like for the Chamber Music Festival, we'd have 2 one-hour performances, the same music, and there would be social distancing in the hall for everybody. No intermission, so you didn't have to needlessly interface or give you the opportunity to interface with others. And that sort of kept us going that way. And we did it. We did the same thing with some of the popular music as well. And then so that was, got everybody back into the groove. The fear factor had gone down somewhat. And 2022 was better, but not 100%. It was very interesting because you could tell there were those that didn't care anymore, and there were those that did care still, and you know they weren't that affected our audiences, and you know, we never knew what to expect for any concert. And we didn't do as many concerts either for right. that self same reason. And the other factor, and I think all my colleagues in the field that I've talked to, this is happening, people's buying habits changed. So subscriptions have not been a strong thing with performing arts centers, at least here in recent years. Mm-hmm. You know, we never had a subscription per se of, you know, these six concerts or these eight concerts. We had basically a quantity discount. If you bought so many concerts, we give you a break. But those with subscriptions, you know, with a finite series, their subscription rates went down because people didn't want to commit because they didn't know what was going to be happening. Although they, like us, had liberal refund or exchanges, you know, that they weren't going to let that be a problem. But after that sort of, you know, found its new level, what we still find today is people buy tickets at the later rather than sooner. Mm-hmm. So we sit there and we watch every day. We get a report of what we sold the day before. And it is, you know, we see, well, this concert's in trouble, maybe in this one or that one. But then the last 7 to 10 days, it's boom, it bursts. Yeah, and then we're okay.
You know, that's not that long ago that all this stuff is not unfamiliar to us. And I know that a lot of businesses in the area closed, and restaurants in particular had a tough time. And then restaffing places that were open has been difficult. How has that worked for you?
We've not had a problem. Our staff here, during the COVID, when we were dark, we furloughed everybody from 1 to 4 days a week. The board did not want to lose the staff we have, and I agree. We have a fantastic staff here. So that sort of kept everybody glued to the organization. And our ushers, a lot didn't come back, but then our ushers are volunteers. Mm-hmm. And with reopening, gradually reopening, everybody feeling good, we have a whole new generation, you might say, of volunteers, as well as our stalwart originals who didn't leave us.
Right.
So I know. We didn't have that kind of issue.
Excellent. I ran into a former teacher, a colleague of mine, and she volunteers up here a couple of days a week, and she just loves it so much. Yeah. Before we get into maybe the schedule and some of the performers that will be coming, let me ask you to, again, describe the experience, because I don't have the words for it. I can just say that it is incredible when I come to a concert here. I've been to several different genres, as you would say. You also host school children who are young artists or not, but it's just so amazing. But the venue itself is just so welcoming, and it's just unique.
Well, it is unique. The organization, it's an incredible story. Just quickly, it was started in 1981. And went online in 82 with the first concerts. And it was a composer, a singer, and a businessman. And the composer and the singer were on the road as a duo, and they and their families decided to come here for a vacation, and they thought it would be a great place to have classical music. So they asked somebody, do people here know anything about classical music or something along those lines? And they said, yeah, there's this guy that has a frame shop down the street, and he's playing classical music in there all the time. So they met up with him, and that little group started it.
Wow.
And they played in an art gallery for many years, and then they outgrew that, to make a long story short. And in 2010, the Schlindloh Performance Center, which is our home now, opened. And the salient feature of that, too, really, well, first is that there's 330 seats. And so that makes every seat an intimate experience, up close and personal, with great acoustics for almost all genres of music. And the second thing, of course, is the back window looks out. We're sitting on the ocean, and it looks out onto the ocean. And that is its calling card, you might say. And so it's a great deal of fun. It helped launch even further the careers of the architect. They've built least, I think, three more halls, concert halls, and I know they have more on their schedule because of this hall. And they and it's a favorite of people to come here every summer to hear concerts.
And there's a place, I believe, upstairs where you can have a little refreshment before a concert. And did I hear right? I don't know if I heard this story true or not, but I understand there have been performance performers on the stage in the daytime with the curtain open, and they've had to have it, they've had to shut it because they get so distracted by the beauty. Is that true or just a fable?
Oh, that's a nice fable. I mean, they'll remark on it. And,
okay.
And sometimes it is closed, and that's for acoustic reason because glass tends to have a slap effect with amplified music.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about the only time it is, yeah.
Oh, darn it, I thought.
Although more than one performer has said, I wish I could sit away from you and just look out the window and play.
Yeah, okay, that's probably it. It is absolutely spectacular. Yeah. It really is. All right, let's get down to the business of 2023. The second half of 2023 is beginning, and maybe you could highlight some of the things that will be happening here.
Sure. Well, right now we're in the middle of the Rockport Chamber Music Festival, which was the series of concerts that was the founding thing that this organization did. And so we had some great performers there. And Barry Schiffman, our artistic director for that, is sort of a mix and match kind of guy. I mean, we had like the Dover Quartet, Escher Quartet this year. But he's more also prone to take those groups and bring in other musicians and make larger ensembles or a mixture of both. It's like a very healthy salad, mm-hmm. of concoction. And there's a lot of classical music favorites, chestnuts for everybody this year, too. So people are responding, and we're having great audiences for it. And so after that, we go into non-classical music mode, and that's about everything else. And I just made a little list here of people, because I have my memory here.
Yep.
I mean, I'll just go quickly down the list. We have, Kiana Linnell, who's this fantastic singer. This will be her third time here. She's coming in July 14th. She's a New Orleans chanteuse, you might say. She's very funny. It slips into being a real comedian kind of comment. But when she opens her mouth and sings, it's just really great, her great voice. And then we have Alicia Olatuja and her husband, and they're very well known, coming here. And we have New England Brass Band. And then we have another R&B, Calypso, Jamaica, Ska combo, and that's it's a local band, and it's called Brass-Fed Nation, and its leader is Carlo Maness, and he is a school teacher in Gloucester, and he also runs Cape Ann Big Band, who's one of our Christmas staples.
Mm-hmm.
But he does a lot of other things, and this is his first time I think he's been here in some time with another band of his. And then the other side of the coin locally is David Coffin. And David Coffin is well known in the world of sea chanties and singing. And what people don't know about him is that his grandfather was Arthur Rubinstein, the fantastic classical concert pianist.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. And he's one of my favorites here. We just can't stop laughing at each other when we're around, when he's around. So, and then we have some kinds of mélange groups. One I saw was Jacob Joliffe, who's progressive mandolin bluegrass band. So that's there's always something a little adventurous that have to offer too.
Yeah.
So we have that, and as I always say, go to rockportmusic.org,
right.
And there's lots more coming, and we'll be populating the fall, and we have a very solid Christmas season. Not ready to announce it yet. But
okay, that's going to ask you to.
No, it's going to be great.
We'll have to do another interview.
Yes, we will.
All right,
so.
Tony, this is spectacular on this beautiful sunny day here at the second day of summer. Anything else that you'd like to mention?
Yes, you sort of alluded to it. Is that we do have an incredibly robust education program, and one of our main activities in that regard is we engage musicians and groups to go into the schools, and they just don't go in and perform. They go in and they work with the choruses, the musicians, the music department, the teachers. Sometimes they do things with the whole school too, and so we're going into most of the schools on Cape Ann, and we're trying to make inroads down the path, you might say, and go to some other towns. So that's a big commitment for us, and costs money, and bringing in the musicians and everything, but it's part of our operating budget and our mission. So there's just a lot of great things that are going on that you don't hear as much about, but mm-hmm. that's one of them.
I'm going to use a line from the Terminator, Arnold, when he says, "I'll be back." I have to come back. Tony, thank you so much.
Sure thing. Great to see you.
All right. That's Tony Beadle, who is the president and CEO of Rockport Music. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.